Amen. So, of course, being Mother's Day, I'm going to be bringing a Mother's Day message. And Proverbs 31 is probably one of the most typical passages that you would hear preached on a Mother's Day. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, with being maybe a little cliche this morning. But, you know, there's a lot of great things that we can get out of this chapter. And there's really just one thing that I want to focus in on this morning when it comes to a Mother's Day message. You know, a lot of times I've used this day to kind of admonish mothers, but honestly, I think it's probably better spent, especially keeping myself out of hot water, to rather honor mothers on this day and rather than admonishing them, you know, admonish those that they are mothering, rather. And I think that's really the more important message that people need to receive, because we're living in a time where it seems like a lot of young people just kind of take their parents for granted. They just kind of take the authorities in their lives, their fathers, their mothers, and they can have kind of a dismissive and dishonorable and unrespectful attitude towards their parents, and that's something we certainly don't want in the lives of our children. So I thought I'd take this opportunity to preach a sermon on that, and that's why I've entitled it Reasons to Respect Your Mother. Reasons to Respect Your Mother. Now, there's many good reasons to respect your mother. I'm probably not going to be able to cover all of them this morning, obviously, but I'm going to probably just touch on the ones that I think are emphasized the most in the Bible. But let me just start off. This is kind of one of my personal favorite reasons to respect your mother. This is something that, you know, I'm kind of reminding my children of in my household, is that, you know, a mother is someone's wife, okay? First of all, you should respect your mother because that is the wife of your father, right? And I understand that everyone's in different situations like that, and I'm speaking in generalities this morning, so apply it as you can. But if you look there in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." You know, children should often be reminded of the fact that it's not just their mother that they're speaking to, but another man's wife, right? And this is kind of an unspoken code among men, that you just don't dog another man's wife. You don't talk down to her. You don't disrespect her. That's something you just don't do, right? So that's one I just wanted to kind of get out of the way. You know, and I think children need to be reminded of that sometimes. That, you know, our wives, their mothers are not just, you know, somebody that should be flippantly spoken to or disrespected because of the fact that, you know, there's somebody, hopefully their husband in particular, that values that individual very highly. You know, my wife is an incredibly valuable person. She's my favorite person in the whole world. Okay, no offense to the rest of you fine people. Okay, I love you too. I think you're great. But, you know, if it came down to all you and my wife, I'm going to choose my wife every time, right? And hopefully every husband feels that way. And, you know, the same goes for my kids. You know, I'm going to side with my wife every time. You know, and parents should, because let's face it, it's us against them, parents, right? You know, that's how they're looking at it. You know, it's kind of like them against you, and, you know, right? Obviously, I'm kind of joking there, but, you know, you should be loyal to your spouse. And part of the reason you should be loyal to your spouse is because of the fact that it will send a strong message to your children, okay? We don't want to be, as husbands, you know, disrespectful towards our wives. We don't want to, you know, talk our wives down or belittle them at any time, obviously, but how much more so in front of our children. You know, our wives should, and our the mothers of our children should always be exalted and lifted up and spoken to with dignity, respect. And obviously, you know, there's times, you know, when we have to, as husbands, you know, lead appropriately. But, you know, generally speaking, you know, we should make sure that we are giving our wives the due respect that they've warranted. Again, you know, the Bible's showing us here that a virtuous woman is something that's very rare, okay? Something that is a far above rubies, as it says there. It's not easy to find. Who can find a virtuous woman? The Bible says the same thing about a faithful man. A faithful, you know, who can find a faithful man? You know, many, you know, a lot of people will praise themselves, right? But a faithful man, who can find? So wives and mothers, you know, they are a very rare, not rare necessarily, but very valuable, okay? And that leads me into my next point, is that your mother, let me give you another reason to respect your mother this morning. Your mother is an invaluable asset and ally in life. Let me say it again. Your mother is an invaluable asset and ally in your life. She's an asset in the sense that, you know, she's someone that you can lean upon. She's going to be somebody that's going to be, as you know, as Proverbs 31 describes her, very resourceful, right? She's someone who's providing a lot of things. There's a lot of value there, but she's also your greatest ally. She's not just an asset, but she's also an ally. You know, there's, you know, few people who want to see you succeed more in life, children, than your parents. In fact, I'd say there's probably nobody else. And again, I understand that people are, you know, I don't want to have to keep putting that little asterisk every time I make a comment here and having to get all these little clauses. People are in different situations, okay? But let me just say this, generally speaking, you know, the people that are looking out for you the most, if they're doing their job, are your parents. And mothers are looking out for their children. They want what's best for them. They're not just trying to serve themselves. You know, being a mother is a very selfless thing. You know, if we wanted to just be selfish and serve ourselves, we probably would have just ceased having children or never had kids or chosen not to have children, as many people do today. You know, that is a general practice today among a lot of people, a lot of married couples. They just, you know, put off having children for X amount of years because they just want to, you know, be selfish. And they would never say that. They would never say, well, I'm being selfish. They don't want to have to go through the self-sacrifice. They don't want to have to, you know, make the sacrifices necessary in order to have children. They want to just kind of have life, you know, treat them and just enjoy life and just get the things out of life that, quite frankly, have to be set by the wayside when you become a parent. You know, there's some things when you become a parent that you're just not going to do anymore or you're going to do less frequently, like have a conversation without being interrupted, okay, like and many other things, right? But, you know, why is that? You know, why is it that, you know, well, look, rather let me say this, and that being the case, you know, that being the fact that, you know, parents, mothers are people who are making sacrifices, you know, they had you and now they're invested in you, okay? And I understand there's parents and mothers out there who don't feel this way towards their children, and that's unnatural, but that's not who I'm preaching to this morning. You know, I'm preaching to people who love God, love the Bible, want to fulfill their biblical roles. And therefore, we should understand that if you have a mother in your life that is, you know, a part of your life and is, you know, that she's invested in you, that makes her an asset. You know, that makes her an ally. She wants to see you succeed. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household. So she's somebody that is looking, you know, is concerned with not with herself, but she's concerned with her household. She's concerned with the health and well-being of her children. You know, mom is not telling you kids what to do just because she's some, you know, evil tyrant. You know, she's not just looking for an excuse to spend money on toothpaste. You know, when she tells you to brush your teeth. You know, she's not just trying to run up the water bill just to spite dad when she tells you to go take a shower or take a bath, right? She's telling you to do those things. Why? Because that's what's good for you, right? She's not telling you to eat, you know, an extra serving of spinach or whatever, or handing out, you know, vegetables or something for you to eat because, again, she just likes to see the grocery bill go up. She's doing those things because she knows you need those nutrients, you need those vitamins. She's concerned about your growth, you know, physically and also mentally and spiritually. You know, the Bible reading, the instruction that she gives when she opens up her mouth and in her mouth is found what? The tongue. Her tongue is the law of kindness. Right? Those things that she's teaching and instructing and telling you to be nice to your siblings and things like that, trying to get you to get along with others. She's not doing that just because, you know, she has to or something. She's doing but that because she actually cares about you. She cares about how you're going to treat other people when you grow up. And she wants you to learn how to get along with others, right? So she's an ally in the sense that she's got your best interests in mind. Now, your best interests are not always what you want. You know, your best interests, the things that you should be doing, are not always the things you want to do. And that's why, you know, God has given us mothers so they can kind of, as we're coming up as children, kind of force us to do these things, right? Make us do the things that we would not otherwise do. Let's face it, you know, if kids ran the place, if there was no one kind of keeping them in check, it would be mayhem. It would be insanity. The place would be, you know, just chaotic. So we have mothers there to guide us, to lead us, to instruct us, and to look well to the ways of their household. She's looking out for you. That's a reason to respect your mother. Respect your mom. Because she, whether you like it or not, whether you like what she's bringing down, she's actually doing it because that's what's best for you, whether you know it or not. It goes on in verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Motherhood is not an easy job. Respect your mother because she's got a tough job. Okay, it's something that requires a lot of just day in, day out, you know, just diligence. It's very difficult. Her children arise up and called her blessed. At least they ought to. You know, and it doesn't say once a year, by the way. Like, I know this is Mother's Day, and we're kind of setting this sermon aside, and we're making sure that this is something that's taking place, and we're reminding ourselves that we are blessed to have mothers, that mothers are an ally, we should respect and honor and obey our mothers. But, you know, rising up and calling your mother blessed, you know, you don't have to do that just once a year. You could do that, you know, every day. And you'd be, you know, and mom would probably appreciate it. And even if you don't say it out loud, maybe you should bless your own mother in your heart. It might help you with your attitude. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Verse 30 or 29, many daughters have done virtually, but thou hast excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. So mothers are an invaluable asset and ally in life. You should respect your mother. And, you know, this is something, maybe it's a little bit closer to my heart today, but also I'll just remind you that mothers are a source of comfort. Mothers are a source of comfort. Isn't that truth? I mean, especially as kids, right? The kids get hurt at home, you know, they bump their head or whatever, and dad's like, oh, come here, and they just kind of look at you like, I want mom, right? At least that's how it is with me. I don't know, maybe your kids, it's different, but, you know, that's typically how it goes. If you get a boo-boo, you don't go running to dad, because a lot of times he'll just tell you to suck it up, right? And sometimes mom will say that too, you know, just say, hey, rub some dirt on it, shut up, you know, walk it off, son, walk it off, right? And look, and that's what's so great about moms and dad, you know, dad, they kind of bring that balance, right? I'm not saying we want to just coddle every little thing that happens to our children, but, you know, there are things that happen in life that you're going to be heartbroken over, hurt over. You know, mothers often can be a great source of comfort in that way. They can, and that, you know, this is something that the Bible teaches. This is just me being a big softie up here, okay? If you would, go to Psalm 35. The Bible says in Isaiah 66, of course, this is speaking prophetically of Jerusalem and the children of Israel and things of that nature. But it says God is like likening himself or Jerusalem as to one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. God's saying, I'm going to comfort you in the same way as one who is comforted by his mother. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. So mothers, you know, are a source of comfort in our lives. They're a source of encouragement. They're, you know, moms can look over a lot of things in our lives, can't they? You know, we do something stupid. You know, we say something stupid. We make mistakes. And they're always kind of a good source to go back and just kind of be encouraged again, right? I mean, they might remind us from time to time, yeah, that was stupid. You know, they might agree with us that what you did was dumb or whatever. You made a bad decision or poor choice. But they comfort you, right? They don't just beat you down. They try to get you to keep going, right? Look at Psalm 35, verse 14. I behaved myself, this is David speaking, as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. You know, when a man or anyone really loses their mother, that's, you're losing something very special and unique in your life. You know, there's only one mother you're ever going to get. That's the only one you get. And I know the same is true of fathers and other relationships, but it's such a unique relationship, that of a mother, because a mother, you know, fills a very specific role that in a lot of ways dads really just aren't suited for, as I was just kind of alluding to, right? We're really not the big comforting types. You know, we're the kind of the toughen up types, get over it types, you know, and I'm already telling my kids, you know, it's a big bad world, you're in it, life comes at you hard, bro, you know, life is pain, then you die, right? Just trying to get them used to that reality, because life can be a very cold and cruel and unsympathetic place, right? So thank God for mothers. Thank God that you got your mom to kind of balance that out and be reminded that, hey, there's comfort in this world, there's peace in this world, there's encouragement in this world, and it's a very unique relationship that you have with your mother. Let's just move on here. This is probably the biggest reason to respect your mother. Okay. You need to obey and honor your mother. Why? Because you need to respect your mother. Why? Because it leads to a long life, a long and blessed life. And this is something that the Bible hammers. I mean, it hammers this point, okay? You need to obey and honor your mother because it leads to a long life. I know I had you turn away from Proverbs. We're going to look at several this morning. Just keep something in Proverbs all morning. It won't be a very long sermon. That's my Mother's Day gift to all the mothers in the room, okay? Proverbs chapter 1, if you would go there, please. What are we talking about this morning on this Mother's Day? We're talking about reasons to respect your mother. You know, your mother is an invaluable asset. She's an invaluable ally in your life. She's going to fulfill a very unique and specific role that nobody else can fill. Do not waste your mother. Do not chase away your mother, as the Bible says. You need to respect your mother or obey or honor her, right? And these are all kind of synonymous terms in a sense. You know, to respect them is to honor them, to obey them. If you obey your mother, if you respect her, it's going to actually benefit you, okay? And here's one reason why. And it's not just, you know, the fact that God is going to extend mercy and grace to you, because God just commands us to obey our father and mother. It's just a command. It's the fifth commandment. It's the first one with promise, right? We're just commanded to do it. When it's in the top 10 commandments, that's a big one. It's not to be taken lightly, okay? But, and so it's not, and you know, I'm not saying that, you know, you need to respect your mother, obey your mother, and then God will just, you know, bless you as a result. He will, I believe that. It's rather more about avoiding the curse for not doing those things when it comes to God. But, you know, you should obey your mother and respect her and listen to what she has to say, because of the fact that mothers give very practical advice, okay? Especially if they're mothers that are grounded and rooted in the Word of God, the Bible, that understand Scripture, that are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, that are spiritual people, they are going to guide you in the law of the Lord, okay? So they're going to give you very good advice. You know, not everyone's out there is going to give you good advice. Don't give heed to all words that are spoken, right? There's a lot of bad counsel, a lot of bad advice in the world. You know, mothers who are, you know, doing their job and looking out for their children, they're going to try and give practical guidance. They're trying to give good advice to help you as children to navigate life and its challenges, of which there are many. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it's a foolish thing to despise wisdom. It's a foolish thing to despise instruction. If we find ourselves despising these things, the Bible says we're fools. This is the nature of a fool. A fool is somebody that would despise wisdom and instruction. And then notice in verse 8, he moves on and starts to describe and gives us a source of wisdom and instruction. Of course, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But think about it. If we fear God, we're going to keep His commandments. And in one of His commandments, the top five, you know, is to obey thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee. He goes on and says in verse 8, after telling us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Listen to your parents. And of course, you need to listen to both, but it's Mother's Day, so we're focusing on mothers. Honor your mother. Why? Because she's going to give you the law. She's going to give you instruction. She's going to give you guidelines. She's going to help you to navigate your way through life and grow up. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thine head and chains about thy neck. You know, if you'll listen to your parents, children, that are giving you godly instruction, that are leading you in the way of righteousness, it will adorn your life. Your life will look different. Isn't that kind of the picture there? He's saying, don't forsake these things. Don't forsake the law of thy mother. Hear the instruction of thy father. That instruction and that law is then what likened unto, what is it again? Bling, right? This would be bling, not drip. Okay, I'm making sure I get this down, right? You're going to get some bling. Mom and dad are going to put some bling on you in life, right? They're going to put an ornament of grace unto thine head and chains about thy neck. And the chains there is not talking about like binding you, right? Not like a shackle. It's talking about a chain in the sense like bling, right? Like those big gold links, right? That everyone's showing off all the time, right? Look, you might never have that in real life, and I don't know why you'd want it anyway, but you know, you should want this kind of an adornment. We should want our lives to be ones that have grace adorning us, that have chains adorning us, the law and the instruction of our parents, the law of our mother. And look, your life will look different than other people's lives. It's true. If you're somebody who has a mother and father guiding you and instructing you, giving you the law, teaching you godly principles, and helping you to navigate through life, helping you to grow up and to be a responsible individual, not a burden to society, your life will look different than other people. Do you think everyone's walking around with an ornament of grace on their head today? Has everyone got a chain about their neck? Has everyone got the same bling out there spiritually? No, they don't. There's people out there who have forsaken their father, forsaken their mother, despised them, rejected them. They are fools, and their lives reflect that. People will look at them and say, he's a fool. And they make a mess out of their lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Go over to Proverbs chapter number 6. Why should you respect your mother this morning? They're going to give you practical guidance to navigate life's challenges. They're going to put a chain on your neck. They're going to put an ornament of grace upon your head. Your life will look different. It'll be adorned with wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. It's a very similar language. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck, like that chain, right? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. The things that your mother will instruct you on in life and your father will instruct you in life will go with you throughout all of your life. They will make an impression on you, and you will be reminded of these things. And you will avoid many pitfalls in life if you take heed to these things. If you do the binding, right? You're the one that has to bind these things continually upon your heart, not let them go. You're the one that has to tie these things about your neck. Don't get to a certain age, you know, don't become an adult, children. Don't become a young person and just take that ornament of grace off, take that chain off, take these things from out of your heart and cast them away. All the hard work, all the instruction, all the labor, all the sacrifice that your mother has put into you and the things she's taught you and instructing you, do not forsake these things. That would be a very foolish thing to do. These are the things that will guide you and keep you through life. Look at verse 23. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Oh, but my mom's mean. She's always reproving me. That's instruction. That's the way of life. When your mom says, don't do this, do this. That's instruction. And this is what a lot, this is, you say, why would anyone forsake or despise their mother? Because they're fools and they don't like to be rebuked. They don't like to be reproved. You know, rebuke only enters into a wise man. Rebuke a fool and he will despise thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. You know, if you're wise this morning, when your mother is telling you you're wrong, this is not right, you would receive that. You would embrace it. You would bind it upon your heart. Go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter number 23. Why should you respect your mother this morning? Well, one of the reasons why is that it's going to guide you through life. And you are a reflection of your parents. And look, just because somebody casts off their parents' instruction is not necessarily a reflection of that parent. It's, you know, at some point, all children have to make decisions for themselves. They grow up, become adults, they either embrace these things that they've been instructed and taught, or they despise them and cast them off, okay? But look at Proverbs 23, verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. You see, your parents, your mother, it's not like they're just kind of, you know, counting down the clock till they can be done raising you. And then say, well, whatever they do after that, you know, it just doesn't really matter to us. You know, if my children grow up and love God and serve God and you know, go on to live a good Christian life, you know, that's going to be a source of joy to me. But if they don't, that's going to grieve me. Because I know that's not what I taught them. That's not what's best for them. And it's the same, you know, with their mother and any mother who's trying to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you grow up and kind of cast these things off, you know, there's not going to be that joy. There's not going to be that rejoicing. Look at verse 25. Thy father and mother shall be glad, and she that bear thee shall rejoice. She that bear thee shall rejoice. That's your mother, right? She that bear thee. This isn't, you know, your mother's just not going to rejoice every day just because you were born, right? I mean, let's face it. Some moms, even raising kids right now, don't feel that way. It's true. You know, they love their children, but there's some days where it's not, you know, it's not just a bunch of rejoicing all the time because it's hard, right? But think about this. You know, you can't go live like a fool and be an idiot and disrespect your parents and dishonor your parents and not obey your parents and cast off the ornament of grace and cast off that chain that you were supposed to have bound in your heart and then expect them to still, you know, rejoice over you. It's just not going to happen. It is possible for you children to grow up and be a source of disappointment, a source of heartbreak, a source of sorrow in your parents' lives. I mean, there's lots of parents that have that testimony. You know, I raised this kid, I taught them, I instructed them, they were in church, I was giving them the Bible, and they got to be a certain age, and they just blew it all off. And now they're just a source of grief and frustration and disappointment and not a source of rejoicing. That's not something that's making me glad. Because, I mean, you say, well, you know, that's just your opinion. No, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. You know, if we do those things, that, you know, we have to be the ones that live that righteous life. We can be a source of grief to our parents. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, that I would rather let down than your parents. At least that's the way it ought to be. You should never, you know, take that as a light thing. Like, oh, my parents are disappointed in me, but so what? That's a big deal. You know, and one thing, another, let me just, while I'm kind of on this point, is that when someone despises their mother, it, you know, not only, you know, obviously it's a foolish thing to do, and it makes you look like a fool. You know, and I've known people like this in my past, when I was growing up, when I was a young person. People that had, you know, great family, stayed together, they were Christian, they believed the Bible, they went to church, and then, you know, the son got older, the guy I was friends with, you know, just kind of dismissed all that, just kind of burned those bridges. And you know, I just thought to myself, as I got a little older and more mature, I remember thinking about this guy, and I said, like, what a fool. What a fool to just waste all that. You know, and he had other siblings that grew up and were great and did great and are succeeding in life and so on and so forth. But that's how people look. When people despise their mother, when people reject the law of their mother, you know, they look foolish. Because, again, you know, I'm kind of building the sermon. That's the thread that we're following this morning. Your mother is an ally, right? She's an asset. She's somebody that's trying to guide you and lead you in life practically. Right? She's trying to help you to learn how to live a respectable life and to not be a fool. So when we reject those things, it just stands to reason that, you know, if we reject all the practical, godly things that our parents instructed us, that we're going to be fools and everyone's going to know it. Except maybe some other fools who are too foolish to see it themselves. Birds of a feather flock together. You're in Proverbs. Go over to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, I'll read Proverbs 15 to you. Verse 20, a wise son maketh a glad father. Not just any son, a wise one. But a foolish man despiseth his mother. A foolish man despises his mother. It's such an interesting verse. A wise son makes a glad father. That's what a wise son does to his father. So it's describing, you know, how a father feels about a wise son, right? But the latter half says, a foolish man despises his mother. So it's telling you what a fool does. A fool is somebody who despises his mother. Talks bad about his mother. Belittles his mother. Curses his mother. This is a fool that does this. And look, you know, I don't try to use too many personal illustrations, although I do. You know, and I should probably not do that as often as I do. But, you know, I remember very distinctly, and this is not anything I'm proud of. I remember one time talking poorly about my mother to a friend. And I'll just leave it at that. And it wasn't some long rant. I just made some disparaging remark to some, not even really someone who was that much of a friend, just an acquaintance, just someone I knew. And that person just kind of stopped and he looked at me and said, yeah, your mother is like that. And he wasn't saying it to agree with me. He was trying to get me to hear my own words. And it worked. I remember saying, man, you should never, why would I say that about my mom? If anybody else said that about my mom, it's on. You know, that's you know, you don't talk about someone's mom like that. But there I am saying something disparaging. I mean, that really made an impact. It looked pretty foolish in that moment. I mean, I feel foolish even repeating the story now. That I ever even did something like that. That's what the Bible says, a foolish man despises his mother. You know, you say disparaging things about your mother, you don't appreciate. And look, no mother's perfect. I get it. But you're going to disparage your mother, bring up your mother's mistakes that she, you know, that she made maybe when she was raising you because she's less than perfect. That's stupid. That's foolish. It makes you look dumb and unappreciative, and disrespectful. And this happens all the time. Children grow up and then they start reflecting on their childhood and they start, you know, just wanting to just take it out on their parents or something. You know, I have relatives that are like this. Relations. That grew up and then when they got into their adult years, started saying things about their mother to their own other siblings even. And it got out of hand. And the mom is just like, did I do these things? You know, this happened so many years ago and just feeling terrible about it. And the other siblings had to say, actually, mom, that child of yours is out to lunch. You didn't do those things. And it just made that person look foolish. Don't despise your mother. You're just going to look like a fool to everyone. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 26. He that wastes his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. Whether that reproach is justified or not. People are going to make assumptions about your parents based on your behavior. The way you act. And, you know, even if they're, you know, look, it says there that he that wastes his father. Meaning he was a good father, right? You can't waste something that doesn't have any value, right? That's why we call it waste, because we throw it away, because there's no value in it. We don't keep trash because there's no value. It's waste. So a person who wastes their father, meaning a good father, a father who instructs, reproves, rebukes, he that chases away his mother, meaning somebody that should have been kept close, somebody that should have been listened to, somebody that should not have been forsaken, is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. It can bring shame to that individual, that son, but it can also bring shame and reproach to those parents too. Even when it's not justified. I mean, think about what the verse is saying here, right? This father who is not to be wasted could be reproached. This mother who should not have been wasted could be reproached. Because of a son. And not only the reproach upon them, but obviously reproach upon themselves. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Respect your mother. Respect your mother. You know, my first point was that your mother is someone's wife. There is nothing more irritating to a husband, at least in my house, than to hear his children speak even the least bit disrespectfully towards a mother. There's a lot of things I'll put up with, and give grace and mercy. I do not tolerate disrespect towards my wife, towards their mother. It ain't happening. And it's not even like I have to remind myself, like, oh yeah, I should do that. It just naturally brings it out of me. I find myself often saying, listen to your mother. Don't argue with your mother. Why? Because she's your mother. Obey your mother. Respect your mother. Whoso, the Bible says there in Proverbs 20:20, whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Despising your mother makes you look like a fool. Despising your mother, it means you're going to forsake the practical guidance she gave you to navigate through life. It could bring judgment. It could bring your own destruction upon you. I mean, because again, if your mom's just trying to teach you how to live, teaching you how to keep your teeth in your head, literally, to brush your teeth and to take care of yourself and to do all the things that you need to do as an adult and to guide you and lead you and bring you up and to stay away from trouble. And say, when she says, don't hang out with that one and don't hang out with this one and stay away from that crowd and don't use these things and don't look at that stuff and don't listen to this. You know, she's trying to keep you from going astray down a dark path. So if we forsake our mother, if we don't respect the instruction that she's given us, you know, we'll end up going down a dark path quite potentially. How far down we go, who knows? But look at Proverbs 30, if you're there, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. I love the Bible's language here. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out. Don't you love the language of the Bible? That's pretty strong language. Imagine having a raven pick out your eyeball, right? And it's, you know, it's saying here, and the young eagles shall eat it. What? Eat your eyeballs. You know, that should put the fear into you kids, right? Do you want some offspring, you know, perched on your skull, picking at your eyeball? Ah! You know, just, right? You say, that'd be so painful. Oh, no, you won't feel a thing when it happens because you'll be dead. That's what it's talking about here. The ravens of the valley, right? You're out in some valley somewhere. It's talking about you're going to die in obscurity. You're going to be out in obscure darkness, right? You're just going to be out in some random remote place. You could find yourself somewhere you never imagined yourself you'd ever be. And in some situation where even your own life is taken from you. And they never find the body. I mean, it's that kind of, that's kind of an extreme example. Well, extreme things happen to people all the time. There's people that have been instructed, taught, told everything to do by their parents, had these things just drilled into them, instilled in them, and they forsake them, and they just make their lives a mess. And look, it's not always overnight, folks. But their lives are shortened. They come to, you know, a very tragic end in life. Basically, that's what it's talking about here. You know, it's using that as an illustration. Just being having your corpse just rot out in the sun so the fowls of the air can come eat your eyeball. I love the Bible's language. It's a strong warning. Respect your mother. Respect your mother. Lastly, you know, and if you say, well, none of those are good reasons. I don't think that's, you know, I don't really know, I know my mom's an invaluable asset and ally in life to guide me and lead me and to comfort me when needed. And that if I obey her and listen to things she's instructing me in, that it's going to go well with me, that I'm going to be blessed. I'm not going to look like a fool to other people. I get that, but I'm still just not going to do it. Those are not compelling reasons. Well, how about this? You obey your mother, respect your mother, because it's commanded. It's commanded. You know, and I have a I seriously doubt anyone's fear of God who does not fear their parents. You know, anyone who does not have a healthy fear and respect of their father and mother probably doesn't have that much for God either. I mean, it says that about love, right? If a man say he loved God and hateth his brother, you know, a man say he loved God whom he hath not seen and hateth the brother whom he hath seen, you know, how dwell the love of God in him? And I'm paraphrasing there, but that's basically the principle. You can't, you know, if you say you love some your brother in Christ, you know, and whom you're supposed to love, you say you do, but you don't, like, that's your brother who's right in front of you, right? You can see the effect it has on them when you don't love them. How much more are you not going to love God, right? Same thing, I believe, with your parents. Show me somebody who disrespects their parents, dishonors their parents, doesn't obey their parents. I'll show you somebody who probably has very little reverence or respect for the things of God. Well, I don't know about that. No, the proof is because, you know, the fact that the Bible commands you to obey your parents. So if you fear God, you'd keep that command. Just stands to reason. Hey, if I fear God, I'm just going to obey my parents. I'm going to honor my mother. I'm going to respect my mother simply because God told me so. And let me make this point. You know, there's some people, maybe even in this room, who did not have a godly mother growing up. Who did not, maybe had a, you know, what the world would call, you know, a bad mother. And just because your mother wasn't everything that she ought to have been or could have been, does not give you a license to disrespect your mother. Show me that in the Bible. Honor thy father and mother, unless, of course, you know, she's unsaved and doesn't believe in the things of God. Then you can disrespect your mother. That does not say that. And look, I'm sure there's people that could get up and tell stories and say things about their mother that would, you know, cast their parents in a very bad light. You should never do it under any circumstances, ever. That is dishonoring to your parents. You don't get a pass to dishonor your parents just because, you know, they were whatever in life. Okay? Look at Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 1. We all know it, but it's Mother's Day. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what is the promise? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Look, I don't want to just live long. I want to live long and have it be well with me. Maybe the punishment, you know, people maybe sometimes don't consider this. It's like maybe God will let some rebellious jerk live a long life just so he can live a long, miserable life. I mean, life could be its own punishment when you think about it. I don't want to just live long. I want it to be well with me. I want it to be blessed. And this is a promise. You believe the Bible this morning, right? We believe in the promises of God. And God has promised us in the Bible that if we honor our parents, it will be well with us and we will live a long, long life. I don't want one without the other. So obey your parents. Obey your mother. It's commanded. It'll lead to a long life, a blessed life. Not just because of God's blessing, but also because, you know, your mother, in all likelihood, is somebody that's trying to instruct you. And trying to teach you how to live, you know, very practically in this world. What it takes to succeed, what it takes to, you know, not fall apart and become a wreck and make it, just a train wreck out of your life. It's a very unique relationship. There's nobody else that's going to fill this role. There's nobody else that's going to love and care and nurture you and admonish you and comfort you. And is as invested in you this morning as your mother. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for our mothers. Thank you for the care that they have for us, Lord, the instruction that they have to impart. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to honor our mothers, to respect them, to those that are under their authority, Lord, to obey them in these things. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to claim the promise of God that if we obey our father, if we obey our mother, Lord, that our lives will be blessed as a result through the practical instruction and also from that the good and perfect gift that comes from above in the form of your blessing. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll sing one more song before we are dismissed.